Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'll be giving a short exhortation. Amen. So let's open Mark chapter 10. The title of my message is Faith by Humility. Faith by Humility. Mark chapter number 10, and let's read it from verse 13. Let's read up to verse 15. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, this is where the principle is, this is where the lesson is. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Listen very well. Bible study. He didn't say the kingdom of God is for little children. He said it is of such. Of such is the kingdom of God. So the one that you see, Pope, will go and carry little child and kiss them. I hope he understands what that's supposed to mean as far as the gospel is concerned. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God, as, everybody shout as, a little child. As a little child. As a little child. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he said, he shall not enter therein. Now take note of something here. There are two groups of people that cannot enter the kingdom. The first group, and that is the group we are always hammering on, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read it. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 9. Verse 9 and verse 10. It said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals, lesbians, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is one group that will not enter the kingdom of God. The second group is verse 15 of Mark chapter 10, where we just read. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. As the emphasis here, brethren, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we look at it from two perspectives scripturally presented to us. There is the kingdom of God that has been prepared from the foundation of the world. A kingdom is a domain ruled by a king, correct? And when Daniel was interpreting that dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar, And let us understand an agenda that God was allowing, that from Nebuchadnezzar there will be four kingdoms on earth. But from the interpretation, there will be a fifth kingdom. The first kingdom is the Babylonian kingdom. The second kingdom is the Medo-Persian kingdom. The third kingdom is the Grecian kingdom. And the fourth one is the Roman Empire. Hallelujah. And that is what God was showing. We took it here. Known as the times of the Gentiles. Times of the Gentiles. Hallelujah. And when you talk about the times of the Gentiles, the period that God will allow the Gentiles to rule the earth. But it lets Daniel also understand that in the days of the period of the fourth kingdom, that there will be another kingdom, a stone kingdom. Hallelujah. That will be hewn down from a great mountain, and it will come and smash the feet of that image, the last kingdom. And then he saw it grew and filled the whole earth. And that stone kingdom is the millennial reign of Christ. And it is called the kingdom of God, because it is God himself that will now rule through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so that is also the kingdom of God. And none of these people we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 and 10. None of those who walk in that lifestyle, who have this attribute, none of them will be in the millennium. That's what he means by that. None of them will be in the millennium. Then we also have the kingdom of God, as we see in Romans chapter 14. Verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not meat and drink. What is the kingdom of God? The definition of the kingdom of God here, what is it? Righteousness and what? Peace and what? You must complete it. Not just joy, but joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Righteousness. And it is not just righteousness, because there is self-righteousness. The righteousness was righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Peace in the Holy Ghost. And joy in the Holy Ghost. And what is the kingdom of God? Why does he say, how? What is the evidence that you are in the kingdom of God? When you see yourself with the ability to live a life pleasing before God, that is righteousness. And nobody can live a life pleasing before God. It is by the indwelling spirit. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If a man be in Christ, is a new creature. Your life pattern, your lifestyle changes. So what is he talking about here? That you see yourself, see sin, and you have the ability to move away from it. Then, peace. Peace here. Hallelujah. It is a state of mind where nothing troubles you. Nothing shakes you. Fear is removed from you. And the only reason why you have peace is because you have come to an estate where you are totally dependent on God. You believe that he has said it and he will do it. You believe the scripture. Anything that happens, there's something in the scripture that gives you assurance. So the thing that trouble people and make them cry, sleepless, hypertension, you know, and get so frustrated, it doesn't affect you because you are in an estate of total dependence on God. That is peace. And only when you find yourself in that estate that you say you are in the kingdom. And also, joy. Praise the Lord. Now, when you believe that all is well, what happens? You are always joyful. So people will wonder, everything is hard. Why are you always happy? Why are you always happy? It is because you know God is in control. It is because you know all things work together for good. It is because he said we should give thanks for it. When they see you dancing in the church, those who are not in the kingdom like you, they will be looking at you, what is wrong with you? So when the Bible now tells us in Mark chapter 10, where we are looking at, where it says, verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. That means, hallelujah. If you are going to enter the kingdom of God and experience righteousness, and experience joy, and experience peace, he says, you will enter like a child. You will receive the kingdom like a child. And so the Lord Jesus went further in Matthew chapter 18 and broke it down again there. Matthew chapter 18 and the first four verses there. And at the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. He called a child to answer that question. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God? Ask him. Now, it's okay, you read this one. You read this Bible. Amen. So you already know the answer. Like, when you ask, who is Jesus? Everybody will say, he's the Son of God. Because you read it. The time Jesus asked that, it was not written anywhere. Amen. Thank God for Bible. Now, listen. Normally, you will believe the greatest in the kingdom of God is the pastor. Correct? No, now, let's be sincere now. Let's talk. And it is trying to show that greatness that we acquire titles in Christianity. So, our greatness is determined by the title that we have. From pastor, you become reverend. From reverend, you become reverend doctor. Yes. And from reverend doctor, you become bishop. And from bishop, you become archbishop. And even if you are an evangelist, you become general evangelist. And if you become apostle, you become chief apostle. And if everybody is bearing it, then you will become superintendent. Hallelujah. And if everybody is bearing reverend doctor, then you will add his grace. His preeminence. The Holy See. So with all these titles, the average Christian believes that this is the greatest So when they are looking for it, that is why he says, man of God, he's a man of God, he's a man of God, he's a man of God. The Bible says, things that men highly exalt, he said, they are abomination before God. Praise the Lord. Now, understand the things of the kingdom. Because salvation, first and foremost, is an individual affair. That is the problem. See, we are not going to heaven as a group. No. Those of you who travel with your family, every family member, they carry a passport. Am I correct? Do you understand what I mean? One passport does not cover everybody. Hallelujah. Everybody carry his own passport at the gate of heaven. When we reach there, there is a book that will be opened. And every man shall give account of himself. You know one interesting thing about God? God does not have grandchildren. Do you understand? God does not have grandchildren. Everyone is a child. If you born your own, that one becomes his child. You born and for him. Hallelujah. And he will give account of himself. He will not come in the merit of the father. That is why the father shall not pay for the sin of the children, and the children will not pay for the sin of the father. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. For every man shall give account of himself. Oh, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, Matthew chapter 18, where I was reading. And Jesus called in answering, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, let me quickly explain this again. The kingdom of heaven as referred to here, there is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of heaven. The difference there is the listen in the usage there when you see it being applied variously. The kingdom of God is the millennium period. Now, but the kingdom of heaven is the church ages. The period where God is ruling his people by his spirit. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is what John was preaching. He's talking of the period where God will now come and rule among a people by his spirit through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now that period that he's gathering his people, he's working in his church, mighty miracle signs and wonders, and then converting souls. That period, the seven church ages, it is called the kingdom of heaven. And so even now, he's not talking about when we shall enter the kingdom. He's talking about now, as we are now. Let us rate ourselves. Who is who now? Our testimony before God and our testimony before man. In this period, who is who? So that you can enjoy your Christian life. Now, he says, and Jesus called a little child to answer that question unto him and set him in the midst of his disciples. Praise the Lord. And also, I also stress this. We have the apostles of Jesus Christ and we have the disciples of Jesus Christ. You understand? The apostles of Jesus Christ are those 12 he called. Now, after that, any other person outside those 12 are those who believe the gospel and they follow, they are followers of the gospel. Those who believe in Christ are disciples. And all, every one of us believers here, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That is who we are. That's why you see in John chapter 6, some disciples that we are following. When Jesus broke it, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no flesh in you. The Bible says there were up to 70 of them. after what happened, many of them turned back and went away. And when he turned to look at the apostles, "Won't you also go?" The apostles told him, "Where should we go? You have the word of eternal life." They are two different groups. So, we here today, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. So, this is applicable to us. That's why I'm emphasizing that. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And verse 3, and said, this is the principle, please listen very carefully. If you are hearing me for the first time. "Verily, certainly, certainty, I say unto you, except you be converted." See the emphasis there? Converted. Conversion. Conversion. Conversion and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is, you will not enjoy your Christian life. I read it again. "Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children," become as little children. I'm converted. I'm converted. I'm converted. How will you use to know that you are converted? It's very easy to say, "I don't steal again." It's very easy to say, "I don't fornicate again. I don't drink again. I don't lie again. I used to be this. I am no more." It's not enough. It's deeper than that. That is conversion. You are converted. You are converted. Hallelujah. There are people that are not believers of Jesus Christ and they don't drink. They don't smoke. Unbelievers, they won't fornicate. They won't commit adultery. They won't lie. You are converted. Thank God. Your conversion is not yet complete until your conversion produces a childlike faith. I don't know if I'm saying something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me take it. Let me take it. Verse 4. "Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child." See? The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That is why I say, title of my exhortation is "Faith by Humility." Faith by humility. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. He said, "Be not children in understanding." Be not children in understanding. In understanding. That is, how be it in malice? Be ye children. But in understanding, be what? Be matured. Don't be so much a child until you become mumu. And when we talk about humility, this is what the scripture expects of us. Now, in Luke chapter 14, verse 7 up to verse 11. Luke chapter 14. And verse 7. There's a parable there that the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave. Luke chapter 14. And he put forth a parable to those which we are bidding when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms. Jesus Christ was attending social gatherings. Jesus Christ was attending fellowships. And he was noticing some people that were choosing special seats. So quickly, in verse 8, he taught them. He taught his disciples. Not his apostles, his disciples. "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, Lest a more honorable man than thou be beaten of him. And you know, I have seen that happen several times. You are not invited to the high table. You will just go there and go and sit down. And then the organizer will come and say, excuse me, please. This seat is reserved for some special guests. You made yourself special. Verse 9. And he, so verse 8 again. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bid thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And that begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bid thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up hither. Then shall thou have worship, that is honor, in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. So stop feeling big. It's teaching us. I don't have to explain that. It's self-explanatory. Humility, when you're invited, go to the lowest place and sit down. Be clothed with humility. So that the one that invited you knows where he should keep you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When on occasion some time ago in Port Harcourt, a wedding, and then they were invited to the high table, a pastor, and then they say, there's a brother here, brother so-so-so, if you're around, please, can you come? You know, stand up. Brother, so brother, they don't stand up. And then they were wondering why. He said, please address me properly. And the MC said, oh, we're sorry, sir. What do we address you? He said, I am Reverend so-so-so. Oh, God, call me ordinary brother. And they apologized. And they brought him to the high seat. But Matthew 23, let's read it. Matthew 23. Now that man is supposed to be a Christian. So he has faith, but there is no humility mixed with his faith. Amen. Verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees, the denominational leaders, those were the high denominations of his time. And it's a spirit. You know, this is a spirit. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. He said, all therefore, whatever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phalanges. Can you see the dress? The dress? And enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogue. And they love greetings in the market, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, Reverend, Reverend. He said, but be not ye called Reverend, Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are who? We are who? We are brethren. Praise the Lord. We are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Have you seen this group of people coming up now and using this terminology, submit yourself to my ministry? Have you heard that terminology among Pentecostals these days? The next thing they ask you, your pastor, Esedo, yes, which pastor do you submit to? And they have come to me, Pastor, I have looked all around. I decided you are the one I want to submit to. Many of them call me from now and then. So I will say, excuse me, I don't understand. What do you mean submit yourself to me? Like how? Are you serving me? Submit. Then the prophets have gone further now to say they are sons of the prophets. Because every son must resemble his father. So he too will be selling anointing oil, selling water, selling handkerchief, pregnanting people with apple. Sons of the prophet. Then the prophet is saying, yeah, these are my sons. Antichrist spirit. And people think those are Christians. Servants of Satan. They will do nothing but walk the works of their father. By their fruits, we know them. This salvation that costs so much to purchase, with the precious blood, with the torture on the cross, the most shameful death that man Jesus went to purchase us to him. Somebody say he is the servant of that man and is claiming a glory that should be given to him who purchased us. Is that a servant of God? You know he's not a servant. Call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be you called masters. Masters. And you know, it's very easy with the ministers. The truth about it is, this spirit is everywhere. And then, the blind followers, when I say, I am an iron breaker, they say, yes, sir, carry your fire on. Then my head got charged. Then I say, I'm an iron breaker. I'm taking a glory that does not belong to me because I cannot break any iron. All power belongs to Jesus. Every power, all power, all power, all power in heaven and on earth is given to him. Whatever we do it by his power. Give him glory, give him honor. Give him glory, give him honor. Give him glory, him alone, give him glory. Him alone, him alone, him alone, him alone, him alone, him alone. Listen, praise God. Now, I'm not saying you should be humorous. I don't believe that when you come, you should just boom. People should relax. You should be humorous. But there is an extent you take it. That before you know what, you have crossed the boundary of humor to a place of sharing honor with your master. That is what you must be very, very careful about. All of us, all of us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But that is what we see in Christianity today. Praise the Lord. Because the last statement there, Matthew 23, now verse 11, he said, but he that is greatest among you shall be what? Shall be what? Your servant. He that shall be greatest among you shall be your servant. Praise the Lord. But the emphasis here is to always try to make yourself always assume the position that you are nothing. And allow God to place you where you belong. Verse 12. It says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be, read that verse again, everybody, shall we go? Shall exalt himself, shall be abased. and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And the church will say, and that is what Peter was practicing, and that's what Peter was teaching. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 and verse 6. Faith by humility. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed, that is the terminology I'm looking for, and be clothed with humility. Your identity be humility. And he added, for God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I repeat that verse again. For God resisted the proud, that is, he hates pride, and giveth grace to the humble. And verse 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, God hates pride. He hates it. That's the truth. Me, even me, when not be God, I hate it. Even before I became a believer, I have always hated pride. I've never believed that anyone should have reason to be so proud. Even as, you know, an unbeliever, where you see some military officers who were our seniors, they carry themselves, you know, just because they know they can spoil your confidential report and you will not be promoted. Then you see. So what comes to my mind is I say, before you came to this office, somebody else was there. Now where is the person now? At that time, which one be all this one now? Before you became commander, somebody else was commander. Look for that person. Where is he now? The same thing also. What are you proud about now? Today you will be known, but tomorrow too you will go. You will go. So what is pride? And Apostle Paul brought it down clearly about humility. Why are you proud? What is it that you have that you did not receive? We came to this world naked, and naked we will go. Everything you have, amen. And what is it you have that somebody has not had it before? And what do you have now that somebody else does not have 10 times that? So what is all this pride all about? God hates it. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 34. It says, surely, 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 certainly, he, God, scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. He giveth grace unto the lowly. You know, in the operation of the gifts, there's something, I will come to that. I've not finished that message, and I'll try to finish it. You know, there's an aspect, you know, about this grace, and the secret. And I used to tell people, I tell everybody here, there's a secret. People think that it is because I am the pastor, that is why I have certain grace. I say concerning gifts, concerning anointing, concerning grace, even to preach, to cast out devil, to pray for the sick, even in the prophetic grace. You know what? I say, none of you ministers will ever go higher than me. Because of a secret I know and I operate in. I know what the secret is. The secret is that when you come around me and I see a grace, I lift you up. People don't know that. People don't know it. People don't know it. People don't know it. Hallelujah. People don't know it. It's a secret, and it's a serious secret, that the day you find out, it is about life generally, not only ministry. People who are in the business of lifting up people, they never come down. Hallelujah. It is a ministry itself. It is a ministry itself. If you decide to, you know, to adopt the ministry of lifting up people, how can you lift up somebody until you yourself, you are standing? People who pull people down, they are already down. You must be down to be able to pull people down. So as long as you pull people down, you will remain in the ministry of pulling people down. You will remain down so that you'll be pulling. So that you'll be pulling. If you are in the business of lifting up people, you will remain standing. Nothing will pull you down. So that you'll be pulling up people. Pulling up people. Pulling up people. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. This is where many people make a mistake. And you limit yourself. You limit yourself. Hallelujah. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus said the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell. See where God dwells. See where God dwells. I dwell in the high and holy place. And he dwells also with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To do what? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God dwells with people who are humble. God dwells with them who are humble. Hallelujah. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 10. What did James say? I read that of Peter. This is another apostle now speaking. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he shall lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he shall lift you up. And if God lifts you up, who can pull you down? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33. He said, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor, before you can have honor, what is it that follows? It's humility. Before honor is humility. Proverbs 22, verse 4. See what the wise man says. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Oh my. I read it again. By humility are the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life by humility. The power of humility. And so Job chapter 22 verse 29 and verse 30. Job, he said, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say what? There is lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. The humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. And it is delivered by the pureness of thy hands. Childlike faith. Praise the Lord. And so, the conclusion of the matter is in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. From verse 5. This, you know, when the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, a songwriter even said he came from heaven to earth. To do what? To show us the way. To show us how to worship God. Therefore, let this mind be in you. You don't have it, you are finished. Christ is our absolute. Some enter message, as I was listening to a preacher somewhere in Trinidad in a convention they went to, and he made a statement, and it's a common statement among some followers of William Branham. They say William Branham is their absolute. William Branham is not our absolute. I say it again. William Branham is not our absolute. He is not. There is only one man that God gave us. God needed among all men from Genesis, from Adam until now, no man was qualified to collect that book from the hand of he that sat on the throne. No man was qualified, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When Abraham was converted, he was converted. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But he's a man and he had his weaknesses. There are things that we can point and find William Branham guilty of. He himself mentioned how he was guilty of. Even one time wanted to kill somebody. But this man, Jesus, they looked for something to use against him. They could not find anything. They could not find anything against him. Oh my. And the destiny of a Christian is not to be like William Branham. Romans 8:29, we are destined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That he, Jesus, may be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. If you see me, you see God. Every Christian, therefore, has an image to look at. A man to look at. That man, what's his name? Don't let anybody deceive you and take your mind into the idolatry of the followers of the ministry of William Branham. Some of them. I am a follower too. And they did. The one fat thing that they read, they had in the sermons of William Branham, I read it also. But it produces something different from me than them. That is why the mystery of salvation is brought out in Hebrew chapter 6 from verse 4 and verse 7 and verse 8 of that scripture explains that the rain that falls, when it falls, the ground is plain like that. But when the rain falls, already before it falls, after some time, when the rain falls, you will see grass begin to grow, Abby. Did anybody plant anything there? The seeds were already there, waiting for the anointing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Already, this mystery. Amen. I pray one day they will allow me to talk to them. So that some of them, their eyes will be open. William Branham came to point us to Jesus. He didn't come to point us to himself. People have made this entire message unattractive because they preach William Branham instead of preaching Jesus Christ. Many of them receive this message and the idolatrous nature in them was anointed. They left Catholics in the Pope and they started holding to another man, William Branham. Idolatry. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 5. Let this man be in you, which was also in Christ. Hallelujah. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is, despite all the anointing he has, he did not take the glory of God. He was always pointing us to his Father. But made himself of no reputation, despite the grace and anointing he had. And took upon him the form of a servant. I was made in the likeness of men. See, when I'm preaching like this, I am not just some lecturer. I am telling you what I have studied and what me myself I am struggling to achieve. Hallelujah. I didn't say I am a perfect person. As I preach to you, so I preach to myself. If there is anything at all, hallelujah, even if you yourself, that God is using you, even if you yourself, you don't want to arrogate to yourself something, there are people that will talk you into it. There are people that will talk you into it. Pastor, do you know, Pastor Moses, do you know you are not an ordinary person? Do you know, Pastor, sometimes I think you are a spirit. I have heard it. They told me. Some other person that does not watch and does not know his scripture. Do you know that thing will begin to enter you? It begin to enter you. Begin to enter you. Thank you, Pastor Francis. He said, Brother Abraham himself preached a sermon that he titled The Absolute. Where he says his own absolute is the Bible. I read it too. Let's continue next week. Can we sing this song? Hymn number 30. Yes. I'm praising on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. If you want to find my trouble, just come and start praising me beyond what you are supposed to talk. I will just say, they don't come. Or like a woman when you come to me for counseling, then he come, he release part of her breast, they show. I go to look you and say, see, they don't come. My eye is sanctified. Hey, this eye has a covenant. I can never break it. Then they come. Praise God. We are going to deal with the spirit of pride. Next Sunday, come with Bible and paper. I will show you in the Bible that with that spirit, you can never progress spiritually. I'll show you in the scripture why I don't have special seats. If I enter here in any seat, that they sit down. Now then they chase me and say, Pastor, go sit down for there. Praise God. What is special seat? What has that got to do with the ministry? Until you fight. Fight over it. Fight. Put the seat. All this nonsense. I'm not talking to you. People are hearing me from around the world. And they are adjusting. Churches are adjusting. Ministers are hearing the truth. And they are adjusting. Until you are converted and be like a little child. We are still learning from the little children about our Christian faith through the little children. Hymn number 30. I'm praising on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Thank you.
You.